You're listening to a World Changers podcast, a division of the North American Mission Board.
Thank you. We thank you for allowing us just to engage in worship through song, Father. And we thank you for the worship that we're about to engage in through Scripture. Father, have your way with us tonight. But not just tonight, throughout this week, Father. Just unveil something new about you to us. And let us carry that with us to the work sites and also when we go back home. Father, we need you, and I love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. It's really, really good to be here with my nephew, Brandon, this week. I can hardly believe the opportunity afforded me being here leading in worship with him. It's really, really good. But I understand you've been making fun of his accent, so you make fun of mine, so I'll purposely try and use the American accent that I learned to acquire some time ago when I moved here, so maybe you won't make fun of me anymore, right?
The other one's more fun. The other one's more fun. I really like the other one.
Well, you see, I've been to England about 45 times, and that's where my ancestors are from. So it's just very, very easily for me to go back and speak like that. So, you know. But anyway, my name is Pastor Danny. My name is Danny Strickland. I'm a pastor in Orlando, Florida. I'm really excited to be here with you. Are you glad to be here, Fort Pierce? I think it's either my 14th or 15th World Changers. I was trying to add up since 1996, so I'm just calling it 15 because that's the highest number and it sounds good. But I'm really happy to be here with you and to be with Joel and his wife and the team here. And I know one person I couldn't fool because I was his pastor when he was a teenager growing up, and Chad Moore is a youth pastor at First Baptist Oviedo, so he knew all along when I stood up here that I really don't have the voice that I was pretending to have, but it's fun to have fun, isn't it? Well, it's really good. I was here in Fort Pierce last year. How many of you are from out of state? I didn't make it right, so a lot of you are from out of state, from Tennessee, North Carolina. And all the rest are from Florida. How many of you are Florida natives? I'm a Florida native. You were born in Florida? Seriously, wow. I was born in a little town called Stark. Anybody know where Stark is? I was born in my granddaddy's private 12-bed hospital before there was a hospital in the county, and I was born breech. You know what it is to be born breech? It means you come out with your butt first. And my granddaddy was a doctor, and he delivered me. And when I got to be a teenager, he said, "You came to the world showing your and you've been doing it ever since." But, you know, he used to think that was funny, but I didn't think it was so funny. But anyway, I was showing my rear end when I came to the world, but I'll really try and not do that. I'll try and show you our wonderful Savior Jesus in what I share with you this week. I'm really, really glad to be here to share this time with you. Our theme this week, as you already know, is the word called unless. And unless is all about cause and effect. Unless something happens, then something else will probably not happen. So you finish these sentences with me. Just kind of shout them out. Young man, young woman, you won't be going to spend the night at your friend's house unless you clean. Oh, that was the number one answer. You clean your room. Wow, how often I heard that when I was young. You won't pass this class unless you do your homework and study, right? I can't eat this food unless salt. What else? Cheese, ketchup, ranch dressing, whatever. All right. What about this? You can't stay sexually pure unless you don't have sex. And you won't have sex unless you make up your mind every day you wake up that you're going to walk in purity. What about this sentence? You will not walk with God and experience His power unless you spend time with Him. You spend time with Him. That's exactly right. The power of unless is a great way for us to understand how God wants to be a part of every single thing that we do. And just as Mr. Joel Dramas just by drama a little while ago talked about, why we're here this week is not just to paint. I mean, we're here this week to touch lives. I know it's fun to get on a van or a bus or something and come with youth group and spend time together. And then I get here and I hear there's no air conditioning upstairs. Is that right? And then I find out there's one shower trailer. Are you kidding me? But you know what? It's a good thing that the other shower trailers for people who've got, I mean, their homes were blown away by a tornado. I mean, I was telling somebody the world changers that I did in Norfolk, Virginia, it was no issue because the shower room had a shower for 40 guys at one time. So, I mean, it was just come and go, you know, whatever. But it's going to be a little bit more challenging. So you won't have a good experience this week unless you, unless you keep a good attitude. An attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. All right. So this week, God wants to use us to impact lives, to touch lives. And you're going to go out and you're going to find that things are kind of new. How many of you have never painted a house before? All right, all of you pretty much have painted houses before, but you're going to be in maybe different kinds of neighborhoods with different kinds of people that you've never known before, maybe you've never interacted with. And unless we understand why we're here and we allow God to work in us, and it's not going to quite be what it should be. If you have your Bible, Psalm 127, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 127 is a part of the Psalms of Ascent. It's a psalm that the people of Israel would sing as they were pilgrimaging to Jerusalem at certain times of year in order to have a special time of worship with God. And I just want us to follow as I read two verses together. Because we need to understand this week that unless God does His part, we really won't be able to make a difference in what we do. I mean, we can come, we can spend the money, we can go through all that World Changers says to do beforehand, do while we're here, but unless the Spirit of God really does His part, we won't have an effective time here. But I believe the Spirit of God's already doing His part. But here's what the Word of God says, Psalm 127, starting with verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. The people understood the importance of the building of the temple, the building of the house of God, and the people understood the importance of the watchman being on the wall to make sure that invading enemies could be spotted from a long, long distance away. And so even in this verse, which was a song that the people would sing as they journeyed toward Jerusalem, they were reminding themselves the truth of God, that unless God's in something at the very core, then all we're going to be doing is simply going through the motions of ministry. There's a very famous story that Jesus tells over in Mark's Gospel chapter 9 about when he and some other guys were up on the Mount of Transfiguration and they came down. And in Mark chapter 9, you'll find the story, and there was all of this discussion going on. And at one point, Jesus said, what's going on here? And this man who was very sad, very troubled, said, you know what, I ask your disciples to do something for my son. And the situation was that this guy's son, ever since he had been born, had this bad spirit in him, and it would often throw him to the ground, and he would convulse at the mouth, and he'd go into all kinds of tirades. And so this guy had brought his son to Jesus, but Jesus was not right there at the moment. And so he did the next best thing that he thought he should. I mean, Jesus was not physically present, but you know what? 9 of his 12 disciples were there. So he thought, well, you know, these guys have been traveling with Jesus. These are Jesus's men. They claim to be his disciples, which are mean those who walk after the master. And surely if they're the master's men, they ought to be able to do something, shouldn't they? And so Jesus said, what's this all about? And the father said, well, I asked your disciples to help my son, but they could not do it. It was a terrible indictment on the disciples of Jesus. And really, Jesus at one point got a little bit irritated and he says, "How long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you?" And then he said, "Bring the boy to me." It's kind of like, well, if my guys can't do it, I sure can. Because God can do everything because he's God. And you know what he was really trying to point out is that they were simply going through the motions of ministry, and yet they did not minister, did they? I mean, whatever they did, they tried something, but whatever it was they tried did not work because they were the ones who said, the dad was the one that said to Jesus, "Well, I asked your disciples, but they couldn't do it. They didn't seem to have what it takes to make it work." And what I don't want to happen, and I know what your those who brought you this week and your project coordinator and the construction coordinator, what we don't want to happen this week is to go through all this effort and simply be going through the motions of ministry. We really want to minister. Now tomorrow morning, reality will set in. The clock will go off real early, and I've got a clue for you. If you're smart, you'll not wait till 5 o'clock in the morning to shower. You'll shower tonight and not face it at 5 in the morning, but you'll get up. Reality will set in because most of you will be getting up earlier than you would if you were home out of school this summer. Am I right? Who's getting up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the summertime? Not most of you. Maybe a few of you, but not most of you. And all of a sudden, you'll get your assignment. You'll go to your house. You'll begin the work. You'll see what has to be done. For some of you, it will look easy. For some of you, it will look overwhelming. You'll see people in the neighborhood. Some of you are kind of very outward, and it's no problem for you to walk up to strangers and say, "Hi, I'm so-and-so. How's it going?" Others of you are a little bit shy, so it's kind of just a real daunting thing. It's like overwhelming that you've got to really be a part of this. But whatever you do and however many houses you paint and whatever you complete, what none of us want to happen is simply be going through the motions of ministry. And unless we really understand why we're here, and unless we really call on God, and unless we really position our hearts for him to use us like he wants to, real, genuine ministry is not going to happen unless we make ourselves available to him. You know, I had a real big unless in my life, and I really wanted to be a doctor. My daddy and granddaddy were doctors, and I either wanted to do one of two things. I either wanted to be a general surgeon, or I wanted to deliver babies. I mean, I really wanted to be an obstetrician and pediatrician, deliver babies, take care of little kids. And so I knew since I was age 12, God spoke to my heart at a one-week church camp between 6th and 7th grade. God said, "Okay, Danny, here's what I want for your life. I want you to be a pastor, preacher." And I thought, you've got to be kidding me. Because I always liked to go to church and I always liked to sing the songs. I didn't even need to turn the hymnal because I knew the words because they'd been sung all my life. But I just didn't want to do that. I mean, I didn't want a guy to hold a big Bible, wear a big dark suit and act drab and not have fun. I just didn't want to be a pastor. It's like, what a life is that? And so I wanted to be a doctor. So ages 12 to 18, I didn't tell anybody. I started my university career in pre-med. And you know what God did? He said, "Okay, Danny, you don't want to do what I want you to do? I'll show you. Because unless you come to the point where you lay your life before me and surrender yourself to me, and unless you do what I've called you to do, you will never succeed in what you want to do." So guess what? I started my college career at University of Central Florida, go UCF. And at the end of the first semester, I had 2 C's and 2 F's. Wow, I had a 1.0 grade average after the first semester. Now, isn't that wonderful? Well, you say, well, why? Because you're kind of a dumb guy? No, I'm not a dumb guy. I know what my IQ score was when it was taken. I know how I've excelled since. And so I thought, okay, next semester, I had 1 C, 2 D's, and 1 F. Why? Because God was saying, you know what, Danny, unless you surrender your life, and unless you do what I've called you to do, unless you lay your life before me, and unless you put your life right in the center of my will for you, you're not going to go down this road. And so finally, there was an end of my freshman year of college. I was 19 years of age. I came forward in church and over about in that area right there, man, I knelt and cried and sobbed. And I said, you know what, God, if this is what you want me to do, I'll do it. And I just want to tell you that was a long time ago. And I've had an awesome experience ever since being a pastor preacher. And I wouldn't have traded it for anything because I had to deal with the unless of what God said to my life. And maybe that's where some of you are, even as you're here tonight on your arriving night at World Changers, and as you think about going out on your first day tomorrow of 4 days, maybe there's an unless that God's speaking to about your life. Unless you come to the point where you really are willing to let Him be not just your Savior, but your Lord. Unless you get to the point where you're really willing to spend time every day with Him and His Word. Unless you get to the point where you're willing to give up some of those sin things. Unless you're willing to get your dating life right and pure. Unless simply you're willing to let God be God and have His way in your life. So even while you're here, there may be something very personal about your life where you are that God wants to talk to you. It has nothing to do with those we're ministering to or World Changers, but it has to do maybe with the unless in your own personal life. Because God had that moment in my... Danny, unless... But I said, okay, God, because there's a cause and effect. So we're here this week. And the word of God, Solomon knew that unless the Lord was the one that would build a house, the people would be in vain who would build it. Unless the watchman guarded the city, it would be in vain. Unless, finish this verse, unless people receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, what? Hello? Unless people receive Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, then they will die and spend a Christless eternity in hell. And so this week, you'll minister to some people. There'll be people at your sites. There'll be some that know God. Probably most won't know God because most people don't know God. And so this week, there's a partnership between all of us and the people to whom we minister to. And God wants to know, unless He's a part of it, we'll simply be going through the motions of ministry. But I know that He wants to be a part of us. We didn't just come here to go through motions of ministry. We came here to minister in a very, very effective way because we can't do this on our own. I tell you, I had a very poignant moment, a very striking moment in my life about 10 years ago. And when I got out of Southwestern Seminary, I started a church with 16 people and had gotten up to about 2,000. And my wife said one day to me, Craig, a guy named Craig had been my worship leader for 15 years. And we had gone from the church being real small to real big. And she said to me one day, she says, Danny, you and Craig have gotten so good at what you've done, and you've done it for so many years, that you can do it with your eyes closed and your hands tied behind your back and almost go into Sunday morning without really giving any preparation. She said this to me, unless you spend time with God, and unless you totally depend on Him for anointing, it really won't be effective. I'll never forget when she said that to me. Because you see, about the time in life that you start, whether you become an engineer or an architect or a nurse or just a dad, a mom, or whatever you end up doing, football player, basketball star, soccer, whatever it is, you can actually get to where you realize, well, I've come to the point where I'm watching some success. I'm watching some good things happen as a result of the efforts I'm getting. And I just want to tell you this week, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm just standing here and I'm going to depend on God to minister this week. You know what? God wants to minister, but the Spirit of God is already gone before us and He wants to minister and He wants to pave the way, but He also needs us to do our part. That's why you'll get up tomorrow morning and go out on your cruise and touch lives and paint houses and serve people for Jesus' sake. And so, unless we recognize that He's already gone before us, and unless we totally say, God, now as we wake up this morning, as we go out, as we touch lives, we'll only be going through the motions of ministry. We did not come here just to go through motions of ministry. We came here to serve, to honor God, and to touch lives for Jesus' sake. The rebuilder of this city. I really like that new song that's been out for several years called You're the God of This City. Y'all know the song, You're the God of This City? Really love that song. I want you to know this. Wherever you're from, we're here in Fort Pierce tonight, and God loves this city. And this city's broken, just like it's broken where you come from. Because whatever city you go to, the vast majority of people are not walking with God. The vast majority of people are not madly in love with Jesus Christ and honoring Him and serving Him. So now we've all come in kind of like this little army into this little section of Fort Pierce. And you're all going to be ministering to this section of Fort Pierce, and there's this tremendous opportunity to make a very positive witness for the sake of the kingdom. And because you've come, and by your willingness to be yielded to Him and let Him use you, tremendous things can happen. I just want you to know the rebuilder of the city has already gone before you. He's already out there softening hearts. He's already out there paving the way. He's already out there knowing who you're going to have the opportunity to speak to. And He's going to wait on you to be available and willing to do your part. But remember, unless He's the one, it will all be in vain. But He is the one, and He's gone before us. If you have your Bibles, I'm reading out of the NIV. If you have NIV, read out loud with me these two verses. Let's say it together. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. It's my prayer that we experience in all the ways God wants us to the unless this week. And so in just a moment, I'm going to ask us that we pray, and I'm going to ask that we pray that we are able by the end of the week and by the last night to say, wow, here's how God worked this week. And not only how He worked within the lives of some people here in Fort Pierce, but how He worked in our lives. Because any time you serve and loving in your serving, you're most like Jesus. Because He says, I have come to serve. So let's pray. Let's pray together. Heads bowed, our eyes closed in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, I just want to thank You, Lord, for this verse. And I can just kind of my own mind imagine this pilgrimage of people is there, kind of going in that upward direction, because geographically Jerusalem sat upwards, and they would just be going along the dusty roads, Lord, and they would be traveling, and they would sing this song of ascent, being reminded themselves that unless You're really a part of something, it will never happen like it needs to happen. And so, God, I want to thank You for every guy and for every girl who's here tonight. Lord, maybe some came because they really, really wanted to come deep within their souls. Maybe some came because their friends came and they thought it'd be fun to come too. Maybe there's four or five that came because their parents said they had to. I don't know, God, but we're all here. So for whatever reason, we're all here, and there's a tremendous opportunity to be used by You to do something significant for You. So remind us, God, that there is this great cause and effect. And unless we really yield our hearts to You with the right attitude as we go out before You tomorrow and minister to people, it just won't happen. But we do pray, God, that we go out in the spirit of knowing that we're partnering with You, that Your Spirit's gone out before us. We're going out laboring. God, may we be open and available for You to use us in a way You so long for. God, I pray for two specific things. I pray, God, that people's lives in Fort Worth would be touched and impacted. I pray there be people saved this week. I pray, God, that doors would open for this team of guys and girls and men and women to share, that some people this week would trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's exciting, because Your word says You're not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And God, I want to pray for some students here tonight that they might be dealing with the issue of unless in their own lives. And they know what it is, and You know what it is. So may their hearts be open to being talked to by You. And may before the week's over, they simply be willing to say yes to the One who said yes to the cross for them and for all of us. And we'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
For more information, check out www.world-changers.net.